This is a session with Allison, recorded on May 15th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting 11.05 a.m., Hawaii time.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Only one who's in the morning still is Bob, huh?
It's true, Bob, and he's not aware, so it's okay.
Yeah.
He's safe. He just went to bed a minute ago, so he's good.
Well, whatever he's doing, he doesn't need sleep, right?
Do.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking at a book I forgot to mention to Bob that I bet you know all about. That's in my, when I took over this business that I now have. So I'm doing
the shirt check.
The shirt check.
Uh-huh.
We go through the closets because it was a little bit like buying a house with the closets full and full of stuff you didn't want. So slowly,
well,
truly,
that's relative, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. You bought a furnished unit. You get to choose what you don't want.
Ah, yes. Yes. Thank you for that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, there were some books on, business management and all sorts of things. And then there was the ion effect. Revolutionary discoveries reveal that electrically charged particles in the air may control your moods, health, and sense of well-being. I took a picture of it. I'm going to put it on dupes. But
yeah.
I thought that
all that
cool.
is expressing vibration that you're already knowing.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's just a layman's way to prescribe an ancillary condition that you already got.
Mm-hmm.
It's like explaining that if you plug in the toaster and if you put some bread in the toaster and if you push it down and if the electricity's on and if you've got it set the way you want it to, then and if you line that up all before you engage in the process, then you will achieve toast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we say it, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But it sounds profound when you said it.
I like the toast. That's
yeah, because once you get toast, then it's like, okay, we got toast 101. Yeah.
yeah. So where to start? I guess we already did. Well, since Bob brought this up, I'm going to go here first. I noticed, am I going through parallel worlds when I drive to work?
Many times you hit them time you get out the driveway.
Okay. Before I was aware, it felt like I was, I could explain it away.
Well, first of all, you get yourself together and you're running around like a chicken with the head cut off and you're going out the driveway on two wheels because you're going to be late or something and you're fighting fire. Do I have my cell phone? Do I have my goo? Do I have my and then you get that and all of a sudden it's like, okay. And then everything's all right.
Yeah, that's it. You're there with me watching. Yeah, so everything's all right.
Did I comb my hair? Yes, I comb my hair. Did I not comb my hair? No, but it looks pretty good. Okay, good. We got it.
And does that allow me to relax into it? Is that more of what that is or just
well,
happens
it's
then?
Up to, are you relaxed in that process?
Yeah.
Well.
When I get in the car, it just seems like I go from point A to point B, and I don't remember getting from how I got there.
Correct.
Okay.
A few times, and apparently it's not a deal breaker either way.
No.
See, so if that's the case, then that would certainly be included in your joy. So it's kind of like a leisurely fun. What fun thing are we going to get into today?
Mm-hmm. Jam on the toast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wanted to discuss quickly again the word thing. I'm still on the word creation, but it seems like about every millisecond something new comes up about it. and then goes back to a simplicity. So I wanted to ask, here's an example. I have, where I live, it rains all the time. I would wake up and I say, okay, Dave and I would look at each other and we'd say, oh, it's cloudy again, and laugh and make fun of it. So I started to say, okay, I'm going to say sun in Woodinville every day and see what I get. And I made it a sentence, and then I just started, all of a sudden I was like, what? Maybe it's the creation of the word is sun Woodinville. And my question is, where does the sentence, where, what are the, when using the words, is any part of the sentence, no, I'm going to put it in a less than term. I was going to say more powerful.
Well, that's the hope. You got it. You got it. Just don't go any further. You got it right there.
Okay.
Sunny Woodinville. There's no sentence required. There's no sentence structure that makes creation. It's the words that make creation. The sentence, the best you're going to get out of a sentence is a dangled participle.
Okay. And so when you have someone like Bob who has so many words in a sentence, you know, and speaks so prolifically,
well, that's
so
just
much.
Because he got drunk on Irwin Thompson, so I mean, that's all that's about. It's all right.
Well, I was wondering if that was a, it was like a comparison. Sheila and
well,
I have
to talk. You say
it.
So many words, but now let's get right down to it. That's not really the case at all. Bob, do you have an opinion about this? And he starts telling you what some fucking body else has got an opinion about it. He never has an opinion. He'll talk to you for 19 hours and he hadn't told what he thinks yet.
Oh.
Well, in the Thompson quadrant, well, in this, well, in well, and that's very interesting. And I was having that, that reminds me of so-and-so. They had an opinion this way, and they were at the gut house, and they discussed this, and that was very interesting. Do you see? Isn't that wonderful? Did you get that? Do you have that? Yeah, that's great. And you said, Bob, I want to know how you feel. Oh, I don't feel. He never answers a question based on what he feels because he doesn't feel.
Mm. That's in the bullet case.
He doesn't answer an opinion because he doesn't have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you everything you want to know about Xenocracy.
I'm not even here.
Xenocracy and Xenocracy and then Xenocracy slept with Xenocracy and then they had a baby and it was tactile and the tactile baby had a feeling and now I'll tell you about tactility. Now tactility. Well, now when I was having a session and I had a talk with Mae Brussel, she said that very interestingly, it was interesting. Mae Brussel was describing tactility as the onset of these outside forces that were interfering and interplaying with our world as we know it now. But when you get it back to McLuhan and what Joyce said and William Lewis, and they had this little conflict and it went along and it just goes on and I'm like, what in the hell, Bob? Bob ain't gonna have no opinion. He's pinless. He's pinless. No opinions in him. And he'll talk to you about it and then run a pin tad on it. So you'll be super confused because he'll obsolesce it and retrieve it and do stuff with it and bring it back and then notice it changes and see how that all applies to your mystery landscape. Because he doesn't have a mystery landscape. He doesn't engage a landscape. So when you're going at it that way, he might not be the best example on the planet to engage as far as wanting his opinion, because he's not given his opinion yet.
Yeah, remember in the Boer tape, I say, Walter, since we all disappear, you can only quote other people. I talk about just quoting other people. It said right there in the Boer tape.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. What I was going to ask, though, was also, so, like, you compared to a monk as far as creating, let's say, or somebody, you know,
Now listen to what he has to say. Oh, so the thousandth monkey was what you're trying to talk about. Well, that goes back. That'll go back. You can go back to William R. Murray, and he'll tell you about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. He won't even have an opinion about the opinion that you made an opinion. And then if you try to pin him on it, it'll come back to, that's ridiculous. There's too many words. What are you trying to say? What are you talking about? Let's break it down. You know full well that that is not a semicolon. That should be a colon. And until you get that straightened out, it's ridiculous. I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you trying to ask me? Are you asking something? Are we having conversation here? And see, then there you go. And so the divisiveness of this no opinion then becomes a cycle of a flow within the quadrants, okay? Mm. But he's never going to have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even know if he likes ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
He may think about ice cream and go, okay, I may have some ice cream, and go, was that ice cream? Yeah, that was ice cream. Well, it was, I don't know if it was really ice cream or not, but it sure was tasty. And let's say after he's eaten a gallon, $16 worth, then he decides maybe it was ice cream or maybe it wasn't. And then he'll come back to going, well, I don't really know if that was ice cream or not, but it was a nice pastime.
We were then I'll tell the clerk at the ice cream, I'm still a virgin.
Well, Bob, how do you feel being a virgin? Oh, I don't know. I'm just quoting what people told me that I was a virgin. I don't really know what a virgin is. I was just giving, because they told me I was at a seminar, and I was at a seminar, and Christian Murdy told me that I was very virginal. So Christian Murdy says that I had a very a virginal aspiration the way I looked at words. And I had a session with the Evergreens, and the Evergreens confirmed that I was indeed a virgin. So you'll have to go to the Evergreens and clean it up. And then, of course, that's not too odd, because through Dave Worster and the Cosmic Awareness, that particular awareness says that my trigonosis, what we call it, we call that expialidocious, Bob. My expialidocious is fire, water, virgin.
Tridosia. My tridosia. And then Cal went into Akasha. And then Cal.
That kept Bob's virginity intact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Akasha in the interview, didn't you? The Boar one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that question's I'm not gonna find out whether Bob's world is so busy because he speaks so many words that it's a constant.
Bob's world's not busy. Bob's world's not busy. Bob's just busy in his world. But Bob's world's not busy. There's nothing going on. He doesn't have to get anywhere. He doesn't even have to be on time for session. He just sort of does what he wants to do, and that's okay. And everybody else is just kind of stuck up. And if that's not okay, he doesn't care. He doesn't have an opinion about it. He just, that's just the way it is. So it's not a busy. It's just a long-running flow.
I was just going to say a flow. So someone might enjoy a fast-running stream or some...
Or a class four rapid, maybe.
Right.
But Allison, I think you're asking, what if I'm saying all these words, am I creating all these things? That's the question,
never.
Isn't it?
You don't say a word that's yours. You say a word that someone else said.
Oh, that's new. That's, I mean, if you don't identify somehow with the words you're saying, then it's not qualified as unintentional speaking, because you just say words and you create reality.
Vomit rarely is thoroughly digested.
So I didn't make it all up.
You're just vomiting what was swallowed.
Wow.
That's very cool, because that was part of, I was looking at a word, for instance, like dovetail. And if you create with every word you say, does that mean I am, you know, while I'm looking at, I'm putting together this piece of furniture and I'm dovetailing the side, is a dove also going to show up, you know, on the table with the tail so I can look? Do you know what I'm trying to say with that?
Certainly. Certainly, okay. And it absolutely could, because if you look at the way a dove's tail is, with that mortise and tenon application, say in a drawer assembly, that's mm-hmm. exactly what it is. It's stacking the mortise and tenon of the wood so it makes a perfect square that is in the shape of a dove's tail. And if you didn't know what a dove's tail is, Bob doesn't. He doesn't know what the hell you're talking about at all, period. Wouldn't know if you cracked him over the head with it. So that was a dove's tail? No, that's just what hit you in the head that didn't break because it's very strong. Oh, okay. Carolyn, what is he talking about? Some bird stuff? We have birds here. Is there birds? Is this that? You know, because he's not going to get in. He's not going to get in. There's no vestiture in the conversation. But then in the process of, now if you start describing dovetail and you then you qualify it into the mortise and tenon application of a drawer assembly, okay, mm-hmm. or there is very dental crown molding also has a dovetail application if you make it. You see?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a Dremel and you're working on handmade crown molding, dental molding, you better know about dovetailing and the mortise cutting into the sides of getting the angles exactly precise because it's mm-hmm. upside down from the way you cut it. But the good portion of that program is that in that application, your thought does not have anything to do with the creation. The word spoken is the precursor for the creation that you are putting in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so both could apply. Both could apply. But that's not the only kind of dovetailing. You can have a very wonderful gold dorade armalou and have dovetails. Mm-hmm. Just as you can have an acanthus leaf capital on a column.
So it's me knowing what I am referring to, what I am.
But sometimes you don't know what you're referring to. And your mm-hmm. question is, if I don't know what I'm referring to, does that mean all bets are off and anything could show up? And we say yes. Yes. See, because sunny woodland is fine, but are you saying sunny woodland because it's never sunny and you have the lack of sun in
right,
your
right.
area?
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's that play. That's
mm-hmm.
that play. But just to acknowledge even a rainy day as sunny all of a sudden could turn you into a very arid climate.
It worked every day for a solid week.
That's
and it,
right.
I even had a, we call them sucker holes, over the house that I took photographs of because it was raining everywhere else but over the house. So it was
yep.
delightful.
Yep.
And I don't
and
mind
absolutely
rain.
Absolutely no problem. Absolutely no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one that sort of planned out for JW. They were doing a little soiree thingy. And it had gotten very, 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 very hot and humid. This is South. This is Atlanta. This is Georgia. This is, you know, 95 degrees, 200% humidity. And you have to use sizing for starch in your clothes because you'll just literally molt. You know, it'll wither. When they take trips to Vegas, it's fabulous because there's so much starch in the clothes. You could wear the same shirt for a week because you don't sweat because it evaporates. Well, you may could wear a shirt 30 minutes and it not be just soaking wet, you know, because of the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he decided that was just not the fastest path to his joy. And so he decided that a nice, cool weekend and week would be delicious. All right. Now it's about mid-50s, and the high Monday is just barely going to make 50. And
nice
he's
job.
Having to back up. He's having to back up fast, because they're in the process of putting in a formal English garden. Well, the
yeah.
last thing you want is damn frost on new things in the ground. You see,
mm-hmm.
So that you gotta kind of get in particular, specific in that process to adjust, because you don't know hot and you don't know cold until you experience either.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what light is until you see darkness. Wait, you don't see darkness. You don't create darkness. You just remove light.
Mm-hmm.
But if you base your lightness on your darkness, then you may not know. And then you may end up with skin cancers from too much sun,
mm-hmm.
too much light. So, do you see, and it's not a shell game. This isn't a shell game. It's just you don't get quite yet how powerful you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of interacting with us is to bring you into your place of power, period. Well, that's kind of ridiculous if you think about it, because you already have more power than you'll ever use. But yet you didn't know you had any power at all. You thought you were doomed, that the fatalist and those karmistic views were being crammed down your throat hole to such a point that you were just taking whatever the good gods had left over.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But mm-hmm. that's changed. And then as you tap more and more and more into the subjugated position of absolute creation, period, then all of a sudden the cares of life have no choice but to grow strangely dim, because if you're bitching just to be bitching, it's like, well, change it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't change it. I created it. Well, good. If you're able to get yourself in the damn ditch, you're able to get yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're getting somewhere. Now, it's fun to have interplay and chat just with nominal concepts that you're playing with, okay? But after a little while, it's going to be defecate or get off the pot. Get on with this thing or not. And it may, and you'll notice real quick, it makes not much difference to us. However, you show great promise in the same process of this play, of the engaging, of the delicious, which flower do I pluck now process?
Mm-hmm.
And no problem. But just know the flower that you pluck to bring and enjoy is going to start withering immediately. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So then you find yourself plucking, and then if you leave them on the vine, they'll also wither. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, so you just choose the ones that you would like to engage. So, if you chose your words the way you chose your flowers for your bouquet or vase, you would certainly have a very precise arrangement. And
ooh.
Isn't that what we're speaking about here, is a precise arrangement?
Yes.
Well, if you chose your words the way you chose your buds, would certainly have an outcome. If you're going to have a dinner party and it's something a little bit snazzy and you got a thing of flowers, you don't call the florist and say, I'm having a dinner party. Could you please do me a 300 coronation funeral spray for my table? Because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't see each other at the table for the flower bed.
That's delicious. That's
could, but that probably wouldn't serve you, you see. And then you have to turn around the other side, and if that shows up, then you go, well, we'll have a funeral spray. Who's got to die?
Mm-hmm.
So, see, that's the twist. So don't get tangled up in the sentence structure. Or if you are going to get tangled up in the sentence structure, then learn how to diagram. Diagram every sentence you say, literally.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to diagram every sentence you say, have to, you'll be very, very careful with your words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What are the objects of the preposition? Think
mm-hmm.
about that. You have a preposition, then you have an object of the preposition. If you don't have an object of the preposition, then you don't have a prepositional phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a syntax. And you may end up with an adverbial clause.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which has nothing to do with the subpoenaed position of your creation. It's deciding what flavor of the object you're trying to contrive. Well, we're starting to sound like Bob a little bit here because it's not making much sense, and that's the point. Is mm-hmm. It doesn't make much sense. If you listen long, it's not logical. Mm-hmm. So you just say hot. You just say cold. Mm-hmm. You just say more. Just say do.
Mhm.
And let them spin it out.
Mhm.
You don't churn your butter. You don't churn your butter now. Why should you feel that you have to churn everyone else's?
Mhm.
And if you do that long, you'll find that it consistently will take the heatness out of the fire. Mm-hmm. Then it's just a thing.
Because
it's just a thing. It's mm-hmm. not a big deal. It's just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even have to be your thing. It can be somebody else's thing. And, oh, don't you worry, honey. They'll find you. And you're the problem solver. They make shit up to drag to you to solve. And apparently you adore it because you lap it up like biscuits and gravy.
Apparently, in the noticing of all the creation through words, I have been noticing, looking back over my life, oh, I did say that, and with time not being in a line anymore, I'm like, oh, it just showed up now.
Well, and see, even that's, there's no problem. There's no Mm-mm. problem. There's no problem. It's just that if you notice that, and if that's the fastest path to your joy, great. But if it isn't, then you now give it attention. Attention. Attend to attend. Mm-hmm. If you don't attend, then you're not being attentive. And attention then is assuaged at that point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what develops that you give no attention to? Mm-hmm. Only the essence of the best of what it is you had in mind,
mm-hmm.
in the first place. Because you didn't care about sunny or rainy. You cared about asserting your power. And then when it showed up, you were pleasantly surprised.
That's
we
right.
weren't. We weren't.
Yeah, it's like this. I'm going to go to Germany next Saturday, and I remember mm-hmm. most of the traveling I've noticed. Oh yeah, I remember saying I always wanted to go to Seattle. Oh, I always wanted to go to Maui, and it all happens. So I remember thinking, oh, I always wanted to go to Germany, and I'm sure I said it out loud.
And have you pre-worked out your visa?
I have, yes, I know where my passport is.
Oh, no, your visa.
My visa, what do I need for that?
Well, you are going to Germany, aren't you?
Yeah. I need
don't
a visa?
Don't you want a visa to go to Germany?
I don't know, is that a credit card?
No. No, no.
No, I'm kidding.
Stamp,
I'm kidding.
It's the stamp inside your travel documents.
Okay. And is that something I need to attend to? Or one should attend to? Or how do I phrase that? I worked out my visa.
Yeah.
I thought they stamped it when you were at the airport.
Well, when you arrive, but it's okay. So you haven't prearranged your visa for your travel?
No. Shall I do that?
It
apparently.
Would save you, it would save you much clearance.
Okay. Is there a process that you can tell me as to how to do that, or do I just
there's
don't figure it out?
Company. Well, there's lots of companies. You can Google visas and that, but they're going to have to do something expedited here. And it may be that if you're just going for holiday, stamp, no problem, fill this out, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But you're not just going to be there. You're going to travel around a bit, are you not?
No, we're just going to be in Germany for 10 days in Munich. We're going to travel just within that city a little bit. We're not going going any farther. Well, at least one portion of my body. Pretty funny, huh?
Do. So, very good. So, then, with your travel plans, a simple phone call would go something like this. Going on my holiday, you booked my travels and where I'm going and the things I'm going to do. Is it my best advantage to have a visa in advance of entering Germany?
Okay.
And if there is there a benefit to me? Or if it's just as easy to do it as we go through customs,
mm-hmm.
is there paperwork that I should have done in advance to speed that process up?
Great. I will look into
it. Or if you enjoy the Munich airport and it takes you 2 hours to process through, and if you really want to have a nice tour of the international concourse there, that's great, you see. You might enjoy Stuttgart well in case they have to land there first.
Well, what is there about Stuttgart? There's something. What's going on with Stuttgart?
There's much in Stuttgart.
Okay. When I was when I lived in California, there was a... I lived near a schizophrenic house, and one of the guys used to walk around the block multiple times a day.
Well, you have them in your neighborhood now, too.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do. Absolutely do. He was wonderful. Andrew used to walk around, and because it was California, I was outside a lot, and we became friends, and he would tell me about the butter rum lifesaver girls that he would dream about. And he would also let me know he was born in Stuttgart, Germany. And it just, mm-hmm. I don't know why, it's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Would it be beneficial to visit Stuttgart while we were over there?
It matters not. We're not dragging you to avert your plans.
Okay.
But if it comes along and you have to be there, might as well. Don't be surprised. But
right.
And it can just be a little hiccup. Fun process of the thing because you're not in a race. You want to enjoy the whole ambiance of it anyhow, do you not?
I do.
Well,
I do. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be going.
Allison, you're not finding out things here. You know about our McLuhan sessions, McLuhan and Maui? Ever hear about those? Have you heard any of them?
No.
Well, last Monday, I on 4.5 hours in the McLuhan Quadrant, and a whole bunch of stuff came out of the crown jewels in Stuttgart. It's the most powerful financial place in the fucking world next to China. And you had to ask a little bit more here. And why did you bring up Stuttgart? Have you noticed Ion?
Ion brought up Stuttgart.
When?
He did.
But yeah, you don't know this whole history. Stuttgart, if you go back and listen to cash flows at pointed times, mm-hmm. I will mention Stuttgart, especially when we're talking about the oligarchy. So I'm just telling you, pursue a little bit more here, maybe.
So I'll enjoy it when I'm there, right, Ion?
Certainly. We didn't say anything about Deutsche Bank either.
Okay. And I don't know what that means.
Deutsche Bank is the key.
Okay.
You're not finding out stuff here, Allison.
Yes, she is. It's not my business, but I'm making my business. We're just pouring it to the brim every single question, Bob.
Yes.
But that's all right, because you've got it. Then when you go back, you're going to go, holy crap, that Ion was on that crap again. Did you hear all that smack, non-physical talking smack, getting things greased up for this Sarah Schoen adventure?
So, no accident, I'm headed to Stuttgart and the bank. And anything else to look for?
The strudel.
Okay.
Tear you up some with cream and without cream.
Even though the parallel worlds or the portals are open, Stuttgart is headquarters for the parallel world economy.
Oh. Bob's just sitting on his hands going, ask something else.
Yeah, find out something.
You know something, Bob?
Something.
I know a lot of it.
But he won't. He can't.
I'm not allowed to tell anybody anything.
Can you tell me what Bob knows? That might be a way around it.
Yes, we can.
Okay. About Stuttgart?
Yes, we can.
About the bank?
Yes, certainly we can.
And will you?
No, we will not.
Okay, I wasted that one. Let's see.
It was a nice segue for your next topic, so it's all good.
Okay. What's my next topic going to be? It's about Germany. I posted something on Dupes today just before I told Bob about it. That saw an amazing story of a woman that grew up kind of same time I did in Chicago, and she was talking about how she was playing a game where she was blindfolded, and the blindfold came off, and she didn't know where she was. And she describes in this audio interview that she realized it's like she just turned a quarter turn to the right.
That's all it takes, darling.
It was very cool, and they brought up triangle grid cells in our hypothalamus.
Oh, for criminy crack, Pete's sake.
Well, it sounded like triangulation.
Lord suffering cats. Yeah. So does defecation, darling, but they're not quite the same.
Oh, what was that about in the interview with Board? About the shit, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was really good. So I don't know. Let's see. What other questions?
Palmer, do we ever learn it? Do we ever really learn anything?
Palmer.
Yeah.
Okay, go back. Ask about the things that you're interested in. You can go on for damn hours with Sheila on the Gagas. You cover every damn thing under the sun, and now you got it red hot. Front and center, full frontal non-physical nudity, and you ain't poking around.
I know. Let's see. Well, you did such an amazing job right there on the words. That was exactly what I was.
Well, okay. Well, then let's put you through the grinder. What did you learn? I didn't get it. Look, I want to know what the heck Bob's saying these words, and they don't apply because, Bob, there's someone else's word. That's a whole new fucking dimension here. What? We know, we've learned, if you say words, it happens. Now you get this qualifier, well, Bob's quoting. As if, how'd you know I was quoting? You know what I mean? And that isn't creating? Look, that's a whole huge thing.
You never had an original thought in your life?
Well, has anybody had an original thought? What?
They have. The people that you quote did. Marshall McLuhan did. You say he was the lighthouse ahead of the ship for 100 years.
I have nothing but original thoughts.
Oh?
I got it, Bob. You don't have any original thoughts, but you're amazing at quoting other people.
Yeah, and I'm very creative, and I made it all up, and it all came true. So I was creating something.
That you have original thoughts is a thought. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, what are your original thoughts?
It's the way I interact with people, the crazy things I say.
Oh, no.
Look, that Walter Boer thing, that looks like, we look like we're thousands of years ahead of everybody. That was originality.
We're not talking about originality.
It's original to quote people in the wrong time.
Well, fine, but the point, that's not the point. The point is, if you have a subjugated position that's yours and yours alone, you should be able to engage it without bringing up, well, that's interesting because some, and so, 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 Ip, switch, jip,
well,
dip,
I think
dip, dip, flip, zip, zip.
Yeah, yeah, you could go on. The thing
and
is,
then it comes back to, and then
this
it comes
is the
back
key
to
creativity.
At the end of the day, you're going to find out that it was actually a joy-seeing theme all along.
Right. So I made, me, Carol, and Jeb, have made the most incredible invention in the history of humanity, ION, and what kind of creativity was involved in making that?
Your gears of choking what everyone else said about what everyone else said.
See, no one thought that'd be the way to do an amazing invention.
And you didn't then. You quoted us to clean it up for you then.
When did they quote you? When's then?
You said us. What was the invention? What was the, we created?
Oh, yeah, you.
So
I quoted you.
So, ION, tell us what's significant about that. You didn't even have an original concept of even your own creation. You're going to lay it back to the other side, which is not a problem.
This is a never mind. I'm a poster child for never mind.
Yeah,
that's the only way it could have.
And it works for Bob, and that's why we say we don't try Bob's thing. You can't.
Yeah, don't try this.
Get lots of coaching before you jump off the bridge, banking on Bob to catch you, for sure. But if you got it and you know, then you can jump off the bridge because then there's no ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob wouldn't know that, but he could quote Linda LaRouche regarding
on ground.
On ground. That's fun. So that's pretty exciting, Allison. You got a new point for Bob.
I love
it. So Allison, you're blocking or something. You're not either. You don't really need to know anything, or you're not questioning. Like
I'm
what the heck?
It so much.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Just enjoy it.
I have one. Here's a question about. A business question.
Good.
About taxes.
Yes.
I squirreled away a bunch of money to pay the taxes, the quarterly taxes for the business.
Yes.
And the accountant that I was using, what I heard them say, it's two people, was that we, because of the structure of our business, we didn't need to pay the taxes till April. They wouldn't be due till April 30th.
That's correct.
And so originally I had a payroll company that was putting the taxes aside.
Well, and then some, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You even
and
did
I,
extra for estimate, yeah.
Right, and I didn't like that. I wanted to have the money in my account and thought, I don't need them to be doing that. So all I know
right.
is that I'll just squirrel it away and then I'll know I can pay it on this date. Well, we got closer to that date, and for whatever circumstances I created, I found out that I didn't know what amount I was supposed to pay.
Yes.
I wasn't reading the paperwork and the payroll sheets, and I knew it was probably about this amount, and then I'm calling the IRS and saying, well, you know, well, how do I know how much I'm supposed to pay? And they say, well, do you, it was something about a $2,500 per payroll. You know, if we owe more than $2,500 per payroll, then I should be filing it semi-weekly.
Correct.
Instead of quarterly.
Uh-huh.
And we did. It looked like owe more than that. So now I realized, wow, well, I kind of blew that one, and they should have gotten it, you know, before now. And so I got kind of powerful and said, I don't want to fucking give it to him anyway. So,
okay.
Then we did some more financial finagling and so I spent it on other things, but now we have it again and I'm ready to pay it.
Good.
And we may have a penalty
No, you shouldn't because of how you declare it. And
okay.
Because of how you declare it. Because, see, they show that you were collecting it. And the only time it'd be an issue at all anyway would be in your use tax.
Okay.
They're not forgiving on that. But you're not in arrears for that.
No, I'm not. That's true.
Right. That's where they get funked out.
Okay.
But the other, it's relative, because you got to see. It's interesting. You have this industry that judges you, and you've got to tell them how much you think you owe them to pay them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
we could tell you a story about the there was a whole lot of Jews running around, and they said, well, you know what? We want some bread. We want some bread. Now, we're going to raise the bread, but we're going to raise the bread. Pharaoh, will you look after our land, and we're going to raise our own bread, but you look after the land, and that rolls along. And then they asked Pharaoh, Pharaoh, would you just put us in bondage, please, pretty please? We'll make bricks. We'll build you cities. It'll be great. And we'll call you in the rancor of God, and it'll be way cool. And then they're in bondage for a couple thousand years. Then they're pissed and want to have an exodus. Did they just get into all that shit so Charlton Heston could be Moses?
Yeah, that's what this feels like, is almost another exodus where, and what I heard on Cashflow, which I think was last week, I'm not sure which one it was, but was, I loved when you were talking, I think this was with Dave Worcester, and it came out, when we get fed up enough that we're not going to pay anymore to be kept in this bondage, things are going to change.
Well, they certainly will, honey, because the judges that would put you in jail aren't going to come put you in jail for fucking free.
Right.
You see? It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
If you realized how inept the actual CIA was and you didn't pay them dogs, they wouldn't do it for fun.
So that was kind of my point. I feel like I'm in my power, and I don't believe there's cash anymore. I don't believe, and I'm using the word believe. Let's see.
Well, but that's that. We're not offended. It's okay.
Okay.
You just got to be real careful, because then if there's no cash, then you're going to bite yourself in the butt when it times to come to make the payroll in the first place.
Right.
See,
so
there's where the kicker is.
If
you're like, well, there is no money, so I don't owe you. Then the ones buying your shirt will do a great big order, and their check will bounce. Then you've got to prosecute them. Then you've got to use the very system that you're not wanting to pay to look after you.
Okay, so just flow with it.
To look after you.
No, don't flow with it. Me and Chad were talking about this yesterday. There is time. This is what the INS got to start talking about. There is time. There is cash. Because everybody gets stuck in the idea there's no time and no cash, and don't know what they're talking about. And you're not getting what I am saying here. There is cash. It's more important than money.
Yeah. Okay.
Cash is king. That's what Dr. Beter said back in 1983.
Never said there's no cash. We said there's no money.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay. Well, that was worth the whole hour. Okay. There we go.
That is indeed. Now, here's what we say about that. What we say about it, if you look on your dupes, one of the most recent posts that we've done in ever, when they're talking about all this Q-sips and I-sips and getting my money out of the whatever that gobbledygook stuff is. Bob can tell you about it, with where you were duped as a, when you were born, and your birth certificate, and you have shares and getting it out of the government and this gobbledygook mess stuff. We answered right then, right there. Use that to your very best advantage. Don't push against it.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, go to Vegas and be successful at beating the house.
You will leave
owing money. But if you go and you bet with the house, you'll win every time.
Okay.
Because you're then aligning with the house winning, and it does.
Oh, that's easy.
Well, of course it's easy. But then you never crisscrossed over do you owe or don't you owe or how much you owe or blah, 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 blah. And then it might be a pleasant surprise when they call you up and you do your book work and you realize you've overpaid by 10 grand, and then they go here.
Mm-hmm. That's great. wonderful.
Of course,
thank
it's
you.
Great. And then, that's now, wonderful. Of course, your creative accounting is pretty ridiculous anyway, but that's all right. They don't know any better, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's
okay.
You know, that's creative in and of itself, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know we know, but it's not a problem, but just know we know. It's
yeah.
perfectly all right.
Allison, you may be getting it, but yeah, I'm noticing that you you don't engage. You don't think about this till later. Now, maybe you don't need to think. You're not engaging with Ion. You're just noticing what he says, and then I guess you're going to think about it when you rehear this, but then I won't be there to deal with the thoughts you have. What about all those questions you asked during Gaga's, House Gaga's? You have questions all the time. Oh, I wish I was here. I want to ask that. Try to remember some of that stuff.
Well, they were all, it's all about the wording. So some of that stuff.
No, it's not about the wording. And wording has nothing to do with it. Let's try that angle. We've got to try to dislocate your mind from what you think you know. It's not about the wording. We just found out from Ion that you can actually talk, and if you're quoting somebody, it isn't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, part
what's
of
that
it,
mean?
I don't care.
You don't care what that means?
What did you say, do?
And no, no, we said we were going to say, and if that's working, fine. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what Bob's saying, you have the opportunity to clarify, just
mm-hmm.
as you've hit little navigating points here, that now restructure how you go at this whole taxation and process and blah, 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 blah. So you do understand that you could set your stagger your payroll in such a way that you wouldn't be over $2,500 at any time anyway.
Oh, that's creative.
It certainly is.
Stagger your payroll.
And it complies, with what you're doing.
Okay. How do I do that?
Well, you stagger your pay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And it's set on weeks, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, up to this point, they would carry over. So ever what's your amount of money that you're trying to space out, you
mm-hmm.
space that out. So, if they have to get paid twice a month or ever how they lay it out, you set it so that your weekly outgo is never more than $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
And then you comply.
Part of how I would think to do that is keep everybody's payroll low, their hourly wage low, and I could pay them more in bonus money. But then they have
you
to
could.
Pay taxes on it.
Well, but they
that's
do
okay.
anyway. They
yeah.
do anyway. They do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other benefits that can be wrought within the way you have it set up, because it's not like you have a million people anyway.
Right.
You can work it out in such a way, you know, where it's the trajectory. But just don't get yourself in the bit where you're making the company very, 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 very profitable, because it's going to pay more taxes than they're going to pay and you're going to pay in income
mm-hmm.
tax.
I'm thinking of having, I would like to have PSG buy Water Me Well so that I can just have one company and I don't have to have two. But we used the one with an S Corp, Water Me Well, and we used that to take off our taxes, our personal taxes.
Yes.
And I guess we won't, that's been for the last 5 years. And now if I change the status, if a company buys another company, does that change the status of the corporation? Because they're now under one.
If you have a board meeting and you put it in a book and you say what the status change is, but we'd say, why wouldn't you dissolve both, open a new holding company, they
mm-hmm.
would have the same name, and have a whole new company that could now start your depreciation all over again.
Oh, that's a good idea. So dissolve them both.
You wouldn't even owe anything in your first year of a new company, would you? Would you?
Right. No.
And if it's coming due and things are done and the company has been dissolved, it can't owe, does it?
Mm-mm. We don't owe anything this year. Didn't owe anything this year. And we plan to keep taking, you know, making it so we won't.
Well, but you can't do that forever.
That's true.
Okay.
I guess that's true.
Then you could sell the company to the new holding company for a loss, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Then you could take that capital loss out for 5 years, could you not?
Okay. So you sell the new... So, but this is all... And you sell it to yourself? You sell it... Does it have to go under...
No. You sell it to the new holding company.
Okay.
The same way... T-Mobile gets bought by AT&T, or Singulair is bought by AT&T. Well, T-Mobile's gone, AT&T's gone, or Singulair's gone. You see, that's just the whole process.
Wow, but you can still have the same board members and the same employees.
No, they're not the same board members. It's the board of the new company.
Okay.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a great sum of money that it's going to take to buy out this company, you can then, of course, do a note to that company, could you not? And you could file that at the courthouse, and it'd be very, that's how notes are done, are they not?
Mm.
And if they come back and say, you're a scoundrel, you're Scrooge, you're not doing right, you didn't really loan this money to this and this and this, and you go, well, here it is stamped at the courthouse where I filed the promissory balloon note due. I filed it under your regulations of what is. So then if that doesn't apply, then I'm no longer going to pay for my house. Because then it doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
So you just get good at their process. You created all these rules, and then you bitch about them.
Mm-hmm.
Quit bitching about them and use them to your very best advantage.
Got it. Yeah, we did that in the purchase of this business, which was really very creative.
Very pleasant also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In a world where they'll give you anything to offer jobs to people.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They'll give you...
They'll even give you credits to start a new business.
Mm.
And within your...
Do you have to ask for them?
Well,
do you have to ask for them?
Well, duh.
Duh.
You think?
You mean they don't just give them out?
Not so much, no.
Okay.
Well, they would, but they wouldn't know where to send the money to, so might be best if you apply, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can even actually, doing it just right, you can get huge credits and not pay any taxes on your business. You can get water for free, you can get electricity for free. Look at what the biggest expense that you have and go at it from that side.
Okay.
And if that's in the cost of your product, then go at it from that level. They'd love to give you so many shirts for no money as a write-off for them.
Mm-hmm.
They call them overruns.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't get shed of the shirts, they're going to have to pay inventory tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the essence of inlined pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, we tell you, Fruit of the Loom is quite in a mess because they bought all the cotton up before it went through the ceiling.
Oh. Okay.
But neither here nor there, darling. It's great fun.
Mm-hmm.
How much money could you make on a shirt that didn't cost you anything?
More than one that cost you something.
Do.
Mm-hmm.
And you still didn't make any money because you owed money to that note you created.
Right.
Now, the company has to pay taxes on the money that it's paying back, okay? But
okay.
When you pay off a business, when you pay off a loan,
mm-hmm.
is that not a deduction?
Yes.
And if it's borrowed money, it's not a taxable gain, is it?
No. Okay.
Interesting.
Wow.
So you mean that there's no taxable occurrence if you're paying back borrowed money?
Hmm. Hmm. I'm writing this. Okay. Wow. This is very clever.
It's just logical.
Using the system.
It's their damn rules. You just y'all made the effing rules. I'm following your effing rules. And if it's effed, it's your rules that's effed it, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say how this goes. I didn't run this. I didn't even know there was a rule till there was a rule.
Hmm.
And so, therefore, I'm aligning myself with your rules, and it will serve me well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that, and you can't do that. Okay, what can I do? I'm not interested in what I can't do. I know what I can't do. Tell me what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you file for an appeal, you can file this way, and then we can have an amnesty. Because we're trying to help all of the small business and get your SBA business in order so you can get this done because Sally Mae's about to go out of business.
Ooh.
So if we do this way, you get to stay where you are and you keep those people employed and we will call your inventory tax even.
Oh. Okay.
And so then when the machine that you bought,
mm-hmm.
that you've used all the amortization on,
mm-hmm.
okay, it's paid for and now you can't deduct it any longer, then
mm-hmm.
you can sell that machine to the new company, can you not?
Mm-hmm.
Then the new company has a completely new amortization schedule, do they not?
Mm-hmm. They also pay, they pay sales tax. You pay sales tax on buying a business, but only on the assets.
Well, but you get to depreciate the assets.
Right. Which is what we did, and we paid a very little amount.
It's a moot point then at the end of the day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I owe you $10,000. Okay, you owe me $9,990. Okay, I can work
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, very good. But that's enough. That's enough on how to do business with no business. Let's talk about increasing your business.
Okay.
We would much rather have you talking about, Ion, I've made so much money, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Give Bob the $2 million. He'll pay the tax on it and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah. And what do you see is in increasing the business?
Well, we hope it's the essence of your words.
Okay.
What are your desires?
Okay.
Do you want to increase? If so, how much?
Mm-hmm.
What are those details? I mean, because it's not our business to run your business, but we're happy to help. So you just decide what you want and let that be.
Okay.
But not from fear and incredulity that you're going to owe some fucking taxes.
Yeah.
I mean,
it felt
ridiculous.
Very freeing, actually, the way that went down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. But, see, you know, you start paying $10 million in taxes and all of a sudden it'll feel way even better than that.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
That's the point.
Okay.
That's the point. And then if you have to call 911, they'll show up. You see. So, now we just obsolesce that very thing we laid all out for you to do, which is doable, no problem, and gives you a little working breathing space till you figure out how you want to do it. Then tear this thing up and get on with it. Get on with it, because you're not making shirt shit for your health, are you, darling? Well.
No, it's not, yeah, it's letting the smaller place go and going from the bigger view. Okay.
Good. And it served you to have that extra space that you were kvetching about some time ago. Is it now not serving you?
We're in the same space.
And that was extra space at the moment, wasn't it? And now you're tickled to death you have it, are you not?
Yes, very.
Whereas you were considering going to something smaller and building and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Where here, you couldn't be in a better situation, could you?
Nope, that's perfect.
Well, it wasn't every day. Then, but it wasn't then. Do you remember?
Yes.
It was Nervous Nelly. What in the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
And
a year later.
And a year later, all of a sudden we're having a different conversation. Might even have to expand at the rate you're going.
Yes, I believe we are. We are.
Now here's where expansion comes into play. If you're gonna expand, why can't you make you be your own competition?
Ooh. Yes. I can
and
see
then
that.
Then you get a whole new set of write-offs. And then you guarantee that your weekly salary is going to be less than $2,500. And then depending on who's best or closest at hitting the mark at the next price tax range, you just award the contract to the other thing.
Wow. There's a wow moment, Bob. Wow.
Now, if you do that just right, honey, do you realize that you could convince those back and forth, pay unemployment to the employees out of one side if you're short of work, and pay a premium wage for a temp side to move to the other way? There's lots of things you can do, darling. I mean, because they're going to pick the trash up wherever it is, are they not?
Yes.
Well, makes no difference then. And then you could actually have a holding company buy those new two companies after a bit.
Wow.
Because we're not talking about your branded name. We're talking about the holding company that has that actually owes the taxes.
Right.
You say, I mean, you know, Shirt Shit R Us can be your logo. But we guarantee you that the Coca-Cola bottling company is not Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
just
this
so
is
everybody
expanded.
Knows.
Yeah.
Good. That's worth the price of admission right there, darling.
Yeah. This is big.
And you're ahead of it enough that you won't shoot yourself in the foot just for something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, what else you got hanging?
Okay, I would say this. So you've gotten somewheres here. Now, I hope Dave is going to listen to this. And if he does not want to have a fucking reading after hearing this shit, then his wood's wet. To quote someone else we know. Oh, I do a quote.
Either that, or he'll start singing in the rain. Yes.
So let's help David. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Allison? That's what?
That's pretty right on. I love that. You know exactly what's going on here.
The singing in the rain, right. Right. We know from the revelatory house gagas where everything's revealed that he thinks it rains too much. Meanwhile, Allison has no rain over her part of the house.
Right.
David. Now, David, you're listening to this, I hope. Now, let's go. What's something about physics that he might want to know about that he studies in his field eye on? Or maybe Allison has to ask this question.
Say it again.
Ask him. I just said, let's assume David's listening. David, I'm going to tell Allison what to ask on your behalf. Now, Allison, you asked this. What is it about the physics or whatever he studies that Ian could add something to that will blow his brain or maybe help his work? You asked that.
And you've been asking me that. Oh, okay.
That's right.
Can I just ditto you? Darn.
Yeah, yeah, just say what I said. Just quote me, so therefore you can deny creativity.
There's a way, chemically, to address hydrogen 197 as a radioactive isotope that would allow it to be stabilized within the atmosphere. There is a use for strontium in your world that the chemist physics would say is inappropriate. But were you to change H197 into a stable isotope, you would have solved the whole radioactive issue in Japan, would you not?
Well, I'm glad this is being taped.
Well, and if he's not interested, then he's not interested. That's all right. And it's no bother to us because you sleep with him. We love you. Everything's good in our world. We're jiggy.
Yeah, well, I told Bob that I had him. I played the Dave Worster part of the last cash flow for him. And because he's...
The interaction from your son alone should change his opinion of us.
Yes. Yes. He doesn't
helped
really have...
It's helped his bank book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he has... He doesn't really have...
It's the arrogance of science. The guy's stuck in the 18th century, for fuck's sake. Okay, he wants to have a job and all that.
How did it end for the Illuminati then? You're going to go
in
that way.
I've cracked all the scientific breakthroughs. I've done it, and I know nothing. What, with a little help from Ion, quoting Ion.
And you're right, because that's that article I sent you today. It's just that kind of thing where it has to be a replicable.
Let's address that. The
but
whole archetype.
Is, but I know, but nothing is reputable until it is.
No, to replicate. Replicable.
Right. Well, nothing is until it is.
Right. Okay. I get what you're saying.
No, but here's Allison. Quoting McLuhan, the printing press, because people for the first time could see that one book, one object looked exactly like another book, this was their amazing experience 400 years ago. Holy shit, two objects exactly the same. When books were shown to tribal people in the 60s in New Guinea, they couldn't believe that something could be repeatable. That very repeatableness of the Gutenberg press made science think that they had to be repeatable. And we're now in the electric age where nothing's repeatable, and the scientists are still trying to run around 18th century laws about trying to repeat something. This is how backwards David is and his gang is. So I hope he hears this. We don't care if he's insulted, or I don't care. The point is, hey, wake up! Your science is gone! Now, Ion, address some of this repeatability cliche that they think they got to do.
Well, it's all old school.
Yeah.
From a computer algorithm, the only perfect program is one that's obsolete. The only perfect computer programs now are ones that you don't use anymore. Everything you use is not. It's becoming. And what science tries to do is to work a detail, a bill of particular, that then could be repeatable. Well, if you realize that once it's repeatable, then you can write a letter or a paper. You write a paper on it, and then it is judged. Well, then once it's judged, then it's either embraced or not. But Bob would say it's obsolete, and then when it's retrieved and you get it back, it's different. The same way one day, somebody said, hey, I'm going to make a product to help people with heart trouble. And it's going to be called Rogaine. And it's going to help with arrhythmia and ventricular pressure drops within a heart of a human body. And the sumbitch found out that it growed hair. Well, he didn't know that until it did. And then it becomes euphoric. But come to find out, there's a lot more people concerned about hair growing than they are heart troubling. There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here. Carolyn, who monitors modern science and the drug companies and their pills and can understand their reports, they get 5% repeatability. And they think they've got something that's worthy of an FDA grant of $1 trillion. There's no repeatability going on in the active science that is actually making money. They're not even following the rules anymore. They make it up.
The same pill that saves the world ends up killing the world very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The same pill.
I can see that, and that, you know, as far as he goes, I think probably it doesn't offend him. It probably makes him wonder, well, the way I looked at things isn't, you know, doesn't work now.
It doesn't work anymore because the ground has shifted.
But if he tackles that as an industry standard, then he just becomes a puppeteer in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And puppet masters make money, so it's all right with us.
Mm-hmm.
So get your little piece of paper and diddle.
This probably applies to your grade 5 guy. He's a scientist, and something happened there, and reality didn't fit anymore. Now he's taking it all personally. And
right.
Yet all he has to have a couple of recessions with Ion, catch up to the new paradigm or potential paradigm, and get with it. So I'm directing this stuff at David because he's around you for 2 years now and you're going through all this interesting experience and he's not paying attention to it. Or if he is, he's not talking to you about it. And he should jump on.
Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Because she went from where she was to where she is now. Now he has to fetch over her tax trouble. That wasn't the case before, was it, darling?
No, it wasn't.
You've become something he has to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
Because the more you're into your power, the more fun you are.
Yes. And I think he really, the light at the end of the tunnel would be very nice to have me being the one going out every day and making it so that the money I bring in is what supports us and not what he's bringing in so that he can do whatever he wants to. Because I think he's tired.
He's tired because they ain't going anywhere. It's the industry, whatever
exactly.
They're doing.
Exactly. And he's expressed this to me. And, you know, up till now, he's been bringing the big money in that's keeping us where we are.
Look at the RNA drops. It's going to upset the whole fucking world of chemistry and physics. RNA drops. One fucking extension of non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the beginning.
I was giving those to him for a while, too.
Did he stop?
You know, he's like a baby bird. If I get near him and I get the dropper out, he usually opens his mouth. So, but I, you know, sometimes I say, well, if he doesn't want to be doing it, I don't know why I'm...
he doesn't know what he wants. Just give it to him anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's how it started, and that's what I love so much about him. There he is. He doesn't even ask me what they were. He doesn't even ask me.
Right.
And he can see the bottom.
Well, you wouldn't know what to tell him if you did.
Correct. And
good.
I told him that.
Good.
Okay, what is RNA Drops doing to Allison? Ask that, Allison. Find out how you're doing with
okay,
it.
What are RNA Drops doing to Allison?
Shifting the information at the cellular level of your meat sack body.
Yes. And,
well, put on last year's dress and you'll find out.
Yeah, I was doing some of that.
Uh-huh.
Seemed
oddly appropriate, wasn't it?
Yes. That was one of my questions. Was about the size of my meat sack and the size of my, let me phrase it this way. I feel a lot bigger in my meat sack than I ever have. And I'm wondering if it's because or if it is has to do with either trying to fit the essence that is coming back to me meeting me is so big, so large, that I think I'm having to contain it in the same container when really it's the whole field is as wide as I can
Well, but now, okay, then the easy way to, before you get too far down that rabbit hole,
uh-huh.
Do you feel that your meat sack body would want to be a different size?
Yes.
Okay, and describe that change you would like to enjoy.
Okay. You mean right now, or you mean that's how I create it?
We have eternity, no rush.
I would like it to be smaller than it is.
Then don't look at it as smaller. Look
mm-hmm.
at it to be as a different shape. Focus on
okay.
shape. And then as you focus on shape, then allow your body to shift and change, shift and change, shift and change.
Okay.
Okay? And eat.
Okay.
Because if you think that eating has anything to do with it, but we've been through that. You know that.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing about the RNA drops that's interesting. When I take them, I was taking them twice a day. I went down to once a day because I feel very stimulated. And I felt like I didn't really want to sleep. And I do, and I enjoy sleeping, even though Bob, you and I were the first ones, I think,
then just
talked
take
about.
It, then just take the second dose earlier.
Okay. So do the
do
two
it
doses.
Early. That's what Bob has to do. If Bob waits too late, he doesn't sleep at all.
Yeah, I can.
See?
I could have.
So when you get up, start it, and then early afternoon, take your second
mm-hmm.
round. Take your second round, and then it'll have a chance to balance with everything
okay.
else. All right.
And
now, have you found Realign as well?
I have.
And describe how that's affected your engagement with RNA.
It felt like it mellowed it out. It
balanced it.
Mm-hmm. Balanced it, yeah.
That's why
it balanced it.
That's why it's called Realign.
Okay.
Okay.
And twice a day necessary
yes.
or best dose?
One in the morning, one in the evening. It'll be just
okay.
fine.
Okay. And then... I've noticed when it has such an invigorating effect that if I eat near when I'm taking the drops, it's really unpleasant. So I don't.
Good.
So, okay.
Well, that's good. But then, we say, because of that
mm-hmm.
position, we say find something that is pleasant to eat.
Okay.
See, if what you're eating doesn't taste good, find something else. And you
well,
may
it's
find
not the
that
taste. It wasn't that it doesn't taste good. It's that this has been going on a long time, though. I don't have a desire for what I want food-wise, necessarily. I just am not that hungry.
Now, listen to what you just said. I don't have a desire for what I eat food-wise. Well, how ridiculous. No wonder you're not the size you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you're not the size you want to be. By those words right there, I don't desire the food that tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Now think
so
about
I desire,
that.
I desire food that tastes good.
Whatever I put
my
in my mouth is going to be the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Got it.
And play with food till you find those foods.
Okay.
Do you see? Because you should be eating a lot more than you're eating.
Okay.
And if you're going to get smaller, you're going to have to eat.
Okie dokie.
Because if you think for 1 second that you're going to get less than, your body will take it that you're starving yourself, and you will withhold everything. You can have a look at a glass of water and gain 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a problem to us, but we're just saying your desires ought to be the essence of your creation.
Mm-hmm.
Not the judgment of your creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a problem. I mean, hey, your husband sleeps with you. What do you care?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a problem, but I've noticed that maybe because I was going out of the feeling place, and as you say, well, if that's working for you, fine. But the feeling place, I guess I was creating from the word place.
Well, so, you were trying to ground the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anytime you try to stay grounded, using the ground as your base, then you
mm-hmm.
have to get larger to stay grounded to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you were talking about earlier about the, I've increased myself so much that I want my body to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't, you are already bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So if you're already bigger than you, it makes no difference what size you are. So when you, if you could embrace that, then you could be size 2 if you wanted to be a size 2. But check with your husband first.
Yeah, he met me as a size 2.
Well, most men folks don't want to sleep with a sack full of bones.
Right. Yeah, it was funny. I was more intimidated then. Yeah.
Okay, we've gone over 20 minutes, so we should have to wrap it up.
Okay, we can wrap it up.
But that's pretty fun. And play with that a little bit and embrace it.
Okay. I will embrace that.
Anything else we got a hanging? We don't want anything hanging.
Ask about your Gaga stuff you do with Sheila.
Bob's really trying for me here.
Yeah, trying to make you do reasonable reading. Get your money's worth.
He's going to make you get something whether you want it or not. That's
I
it.
Know. I loved it. Ask about the Gaga stuff.
No, ask what Ian thinks of what you're doing, if he has any comment on what you're saying, what he recorded.
But Ian loves everything we do. Okay, what do you, Ian, do you have any comments on the Gaga's recordings?
Yes. You should organize your topics and
mm-hmm.
sort of flow them a bit. So basically have the kind of the conversation to build it, outline it a bit so it's more topically focused.
Okay.
And if you get to that more, you'll find it more beneficial. You'll actually talk yourself into somewhere. But just jumping like we do,
mm-hmm.
we know where to jump to. You all don't.
Okay.
But based on what you see, the cosmopolitan approach that you take to it is innocent and very appropriate because it's just like it's your weekly what the fuck moments that you
mm-hmm.
embrace. And that's okay. But if you could focus those and pick one fuck at a time, we promise the orgasms will be much more prolific.
That's pretty good, Bob. Don't you like that one?
Excellent. Great way to end a session.
That's great.
Therefore, we are totally, happily, deliciously, and forever, Gina, Lola, Brigida. Hey.
Hey. That was a great ending. Great ending.
Oh,
that
fine.
Was wonderful. Great beginning, middle, and ending. Thank you.
Well, fun. We love playing with you too, darling.
Mm.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very, very much. And don't be a stranger. You know you can get in when you want to.
Okay. Thanks.
Very, very wonderful.
It.
Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you soon.
You too. Bye, JW.